Well, welcome to this podcast, everyone, of the Children's Trust Fund. I'm Kirk Schreiber, Executive Director for CTF. And joining me in the studio today is Debbie Halland. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you for having me.
Debbie is the coordinator of the Kansas City Child Abuse Roundtable Coalition. How many years have you been doing this?
Gosh, since 2001.
It's a long time.
Yes, years fly by.
And still going strong.
Yeah, we hope.
Debbie, maybe you could start out by telling us a little bit about the work of the roundtable.
You know, the group of advocates in Kansas City came together for the first time in February of 2001 as a result of a tragedy in Kansas City. Two young children died as a result of abuse, and we really came together thinking, how can we make a difference? How can we do better at preventing abuse, but also getting the word out about what abuse is, how to recognize it, and how to report it? So a very small group came together at the Children's Place, which is a child abuse treatment center in Kansas City for the youngest victims of abuse. And we had Representative Marsha Campbell and Senator Harry Wiggins with us. And we came out of that meeting not only with a purpose statement, but also the idea that if we were really going to make a difference with children and child abuse issues, we were going to have regular discussions with our elected officials and policymakers at the state capitol.
Debbie, I know a big part of the roundtable's focus is planning for April, Child Abuse Prevention Month, both here in Missouri as well as nationally. Maybe you could tell us the planning that has occurred and what are some of the things that the Kansas City community can look forward to from your organization for April?
Well, you know, the Child Abuse Prevention Month Planning Committee was the first subcommittee or subgroup that came out of the Child Abuse Roundtable Coalition's work. And as it has evolved over the years, this planning committee gets together starting every August, and we start the planning process in the summer for the following April. And we are very pleased to say that it has evolved into a bi-state, metro-wide planning committee, and we do our very best to coordinate and plan for effective education and information to be distributed throughout the month of April throughout the metro area in Kansas City.
Well, and I know from representing a statewide organization that the work of the roundtable in and around April really has, you know, spurred on a lot of statewide efforts. Both, you know, you've given us ideas such as the Go Blue Day,
yes,
which has really taken off statewide, and I think really not only helped statewide organizations, but also other communities with the work that you've done in Kansas City. So really, you're to be applauded for those efforts.
Well, thank you. But we also couldn't do it without our community collaborative partners. From the very beginning, I have to give credit to the Kansas City Star. They, back in 2004, made their first donation of a half-page ad that, you know, obviously as a planning committee, we had no money to spend, but it was great that the Kansas City Star donated a half-page ad that includes all of the activities that this planning committee have on the calendar scheduled for the month of April. So that was really our first big donation. I'm very happy to report that this year we received a $24,000 donation from Lamar Advertising. And I have a picture here of what our digital billboards will be throughout the Kansas City area during the month of April.
And I see where the billboard does say Wear Blue for Child Abuse Awareness.
Yes.
And that is April 13th, 2012. Of course, I'm referring to Wear Blue Day or Go Blue Day. And that's Friday, April 13th.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe let's make it a lucky day for kids. What should people do on that day?
Well, we are trying very hard to get the word out that you can increase awareness and do your own personal effort that would not cost you a penny by just simply registering on the preventabusekc.org website and promise to wear blue on April 13th to hopefully spur conversations and allow you the opportunity to educate folks about what the blue color is all about. And of course, we're so fortunate that the Kansas City Royals, their team color is blue. So they're allowing us to have a Wear Blue night at the Royals Stadium on the following day, which we are very excited to
So we can make it a Go Blue weekend.
Absolutely.
Then. Yes.
And, you know, our theme is Child Abuse Prevention Month is every April, but we need to make sure that we try our best to prevent abuse every single day and not just focus on it during the month of April.
What are maybe some of the other activities going on in and around Kansas City for the month of April?
Well, we have many training sessions. We have fundraisers related to nonprofit agencies in Kansas City that provide services to children and families, and fundraisers are happening during the month of April with the focus on how can we do better at preventing abuse, and most importantly, how can we get the word out to just citizens and families and young people that preventing abuse is doable. We have to focus on it. We have to be aware of knowing the signs, knowing the toll-free numbers to report abuse if you do suspect abuse. So our month of April is really focused on education and information for the public.
Since you mentioned it, let's go ahead and talk about it. You mentioned signs of child abuse and neglect. What are some of the signs that people should look for?
You know, before you can really recognize abuse, in my opinion, you have to know a child fairly well. And I think that is an important theme that we're stressing this year. Know the children in your world. And a lot of folks say to me, well, you know, I don't have a child. But I always come back and say, it's important for you to know the children in your neighborhood, children in your extended family, children of your coworkers and friends. And if you observe them and get to know them, then you might be able to detect signs such as a change in their behavior, a change in their verbal skills, what they are verbalizing, what worries them, what seems to be concerning to them. And of course, the obvious is injuries or bruises that you might notice. But again, unless you know the child well enough to detect changes in personality and changes in their what they verbalize, you'll never be able to recognize what may be different. I think behavior of a child typically changes when they have been abused or neglected, and a lot of folks don't understand that behavior changes can be an important signal of so many different things.
Debbie, what should someone do if they suspect child abuse or neglect?
Most important thing is to pick up the phone. In Missouri, there is a toll-free number for our child abuse hotline. Even if you just suspect, you have no documentation, you have no evidence, it's still really important to pick up the phone and call 800-392-3738. And this number, you can call it anonymously. You can give information that you have observed or information that you have because someone has told you. But it's just so important to let the child abuse hotline know that there is a child out there that may need their help.
We hear a lot about child abuse, but really, why should the general public care?
Well, let's start with healthy children. If we don't have healthy children, and that's physical health, behavioral health, mental health, social health, if we don't have healthy children, then we don't have much hope for our future. And I think it's so important for people to understand that children have no voice, they have no vote, they have no choice to the circumstances in which they're born, and if adults don't stand up for them and if adults don't take the opportunity to get to know them and know them well enough that they know what is normal behavior and normal speech patterns, then they will never know if there is something wrong in their life, specifically verbal abuse or sexual abuse or physical abuse. It's just really important for the future of our country that we have healthy children.
So really, violence and abuse and neglect in our communities, I mean, they affect all of us.
Absolutely, they do.
And it just seems like that if we don't prevent or stop this vicious cycle from happening, then it's going to happen over and over for generations to come.
And Kirk, you're exactly right. And you know that abused children tend to become abusers. And, you know, if we don't help them as children through this trauma in their life, then they are likely to become abusers when they become parents. And that's probably the saddest outcome of child abuse, is it's traumatic and tragic for the child as he or she lives through it. But to look down the road at what kind of parenting skills then they will have, that's even more tragic in my opinion.
Well, and we just encourage anyone that's listening to support, protect, and ensure the safety of children. Again, throughout the year, this isn't just about the month of April. That's just to bring awareness to child abuse prevention, but to protect our kids throughout the year. And, you know, I think it's so important to recognize for each of us, whether you have children or not, that prevention plays an important part in promoting the social and emotional well-being of children and families in our own communities. So, Debbie, I just want to thank you for being here today, and thank you for the work that you do and the work that the Kansas City Child Abuse Roundtable does, not only to promote April, but really throughout the year for children and families in the Kansas City area. And so
thank you for
joining.
Having me.
You are very welcome.